Hello, Imperial Valley. Welcome to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio show brought to you as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health. My name is Patricia Arevalo-Caro, and I am your host for today's show. If you would like to hear any of our shows in Spanish, please tune in on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. on Radio Bilingüe 88.7 to listen to our sister show, Expressate. If you'd like to revisit this show or any one of our other shows or share a podcast, we'd love for you to do so. Just visit kxoradio.com and click on the Let's Talk About It and Expressate links on the right side of the page to find a show or shows that interest you. Our radio show calendars, along with information about our various programs and services, are available on our website, which is bhs.imperialcounty.org. If you have any questions, you have any feedback, we would love to hear from you. You can send us an email at wellnessradio@co.imperial.ca.us. Imperial County Behavioral Health also offers free community training courses. They're open to the public, and we're always happy to welcome new participants. You can call us at 442-265-7442 to find out about any of our upcoming classes and to sign up. If you want to stay connected with us, we are on Facebook, on Spotify, and Instagram. You can give us a like, a care, follow, just to stay up on all the stuff that Imperial County Behavioral Health is doing and our local wellness resources and events. So with that said, we are going to jump into our show. And today we have the pleasure of speaking with Carolina Rivas. And she is a therapist at Jackson House El Centro, which is a mental health crisis residential center. So welcome, Carolina, and thank you for taking time to come over and talk with us.
Hi, Patricia. Thank you. Thank you for inviting Jackson House, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. That's great. So first off, we're going to talk a little bit about you. Who is Carolina Rivas? What do you do? Who are you?
So my name is Carolina Rivas. I am a mental health therapist. I have a background of 10 years of working in the field. I have worked in prisons, especially the Calpat State Prison. I have worked at with children, with the undocumented children. And I'm currently working here with Jackson House, which is a really, really good team that I have and I love with all my heart. And that's me. I'm a mother of two. I have a beautiful dog who I considered my child, my four-legged child. And but that's who I am.
Well, you know, we all have our fur babies, and like you said, they are like our children.
Yes.
And it's really nice to have them, and you know, they have such unconditional love for them.
Yes.
And I will say, I'm going to go ahead and mention, you have such a supportive team that two of your fellow staff members, Maritza Gallo and Carolina Madero, they came just to show support.
Yes, they're right off, here.
they're not off camera, but off mic, and they're here just to show support. So that means a lot, you know. You guys are stick together, which is so very nice, because sometimes you know, working in the mental health profession or in any profession, sometimes things get a little difficult, and you know, you want to talk to somebody, you want to sound off on somebody, you know, did I do this right? Is that quite right? Or whatever. And it's nice to have people that you can talk to and that are good sounding boards.
Yes. And my team is an excellent team. Every morning we do a debrief in the mornings just to see how we're doing. How are we going to cope today? How are we going to work? And if one is struggling, how can we help that person or that colleague so that he or she can feel better during the day, and then we start working. It's like a 5-10 minute debriefing that we do every morning.
You know, that's a really good idea, because I'm sure since you're a you know, residential facility, you guys, your nurses and stuff give report every morning.
Yes.
So this is your way of checking in
exactly.
with each other, just to make sure. And you know, that I care kind of thing is really means a lot, because you know, we are not just mental health providers. We also have a family. We also have a house, and we also have, Maybe something that happened in the morning, you were drinking your morning coffee and it spilled all over your shirt and it just kind of made you start off with a bad day because now I have to go back in and get dressed. And of course, anybody who's like me, they have their minutes timed. You know, you get up at a certain time and you only have a certain amount of time and for that to happen. And so to be able to check in with somebody, to be able to talk to somebody, it's like, you know, I'm starting off the day bad and just kind of turn that frown upside down kind of thing, you know. So,
yes, really and, cool. And we all listen, we all do that debriefing 5-10 minutes and I mean, and we're good to go because it's gonna, I mean, you deal with a lot of different personalities and I mean, we have to keep ourselves on track. Yes. Just to provide a good service.
So what made you come into the mental health field? You're a therapist, so, you know, you had to have gone to school and a lot of time and dedication to that. So
yes, it took me a while to complete the program. I did my bachelor's degree. I have my bachelor's degree and I got it in human services, and then I worked towards my counseling as I really liked to communicate with people and how I can help people and other personal reasons that will allow me to, I know that I could do something better. And that lead me to counseling. And I really enjoy what I do. I really, when I do my sessions with my clients or with anyone that I do sessions with, it's just, I don't know. It's like I'm giving a little bit to the community and do good.
Yeah. And there's a saying that says something like, and I'm going to paraphrase it. It says, if you enjoy what you do, it's not like going to work.
Exactly.
And that kind of sounds exactly where you're at. You know, you come to work, but it's not a job. You like your, you know, you care for your patients, you care for the staff, you care for everybody.
Yes.
So it makes the day just a little bit faster, a little bit easier.
Exactly. And if you have a good team and if you help your team, I mean, it's gonna, things will run smoothly and everyone will be feeling good. I mean, doing their job and in a good way, in a positive way. So that makes a difference.
Yeah, definitely. So for our people that are listening out there and saying, Jackson House, what's Jackson House? What is Jackson House?
So Jackson House, it began in California as a response to a major gap in mental health care. For many years, individuals leaving hospitals or crisis stabilization units returned to the community without enough support. So this often led to repeated cycles of instability and crisis. So the founders asked a simple but powerful question. What happens after the hospital? So Jackson House was created as a bridge between crisis care and independent living. It provides a safe, home-like residential environment where individuals can continue their recovery with 24/7 support, dignity, and structure. From the beginning, the mission has been to promote long-term recovery, not just short-term recovery and stabilization. So that is Jackson House. So we provide individual therapy, group therapy, medication support and coordination, case management and resource connection, life skills training, 24/7 structure residential care. And these services are designed to help our individuals regain their independence and confidence. And they're just, they're individuals who just want to be accepted, who want to feel welcome in a program. And we tend to provide that to our clients. They feel comfortable. They feel safe. They feel that they're in a home with people who do care, who do provide a good service to them. And sometimes the clients don't want to leave because they feel so comfortable or attached to us, which is a good thing and is a bad thing. But, I mean, we tend to see that transition from when the client arrives to the program and that they're very psychotic and you see that transition where it's this client that didn't want to be part of the program. And at the end of the day, that client is stable, is motivated, or, and just wants to stay there from since the beginning, didn't want to stay, but now they want to be with us. And we tend to see that transition.
That's really good. That says a lot for you guys because, yes. You know, some treatment programs, people do not want to be there. But so if, say, for example, somebody is wanting to go into services or like my family wants me to go into services, the programs are all voluntary, correct? Right. how does that work?
It's a voluntary program, and we respect our client's decision. If the client wants to be part of the program, and it's an example would be if the client has Medi-Cal, then the client can, we usually work with behavioral health so that the client can do like a smooth transition from behavioral health to Jackson Health, and we tend to work together and coordinate for the benefit of the client. So if it's Medi-Cal, they will go through behavioral health. Behavioral health connects us. And then if it's a commercial insurance, the client can call the admissions lines, be assessed from our admissions, and they can come to our facility and receive the treatment.
And the other thing I want to mention is about confidentiality.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So confidentiality, we do receive our trainings, and also our staff receives the training about the confidentiality and HIPAA. And we, when a client is, our doors are always locked. So there is no way a client or an outsider can come into our facility unless it's open by one of our staff members. So we just want to make sure that our clients feel safe and comfortable and that their privacy is being respected. So that's something that we truly value and protect for our clients.
And that's really important because you're not going to call up their mother, father, sister, brother and say, Patricia's there, Patricia.
Yeah, no.
You know, and so that's a lot of times it's really important. And that's, you know, one of the barriers that we notice that people don't want to seek services because they're afraid that, you know, it's going to be on social media that afternoon, you know.
Exactly.
And there's lots of pages here in the Imperial Valley, which, you know, people mention, which I won't. And that, you know, really talk about stuff that's happening or, you know, what people are doing. And so there is no social media there. It will not be reported to anyone, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
No.
Okay. And one thing I have forgotten to mention, we've started talking about Jackson House, but we didn't mention where your location is and your social media only because you're promoting your agency, not because you're putting things on there. But if you're any kind of social media and your phone number, your toll-free and your local?
Yes. So we are located at 2364 South 2nd Street here in El Centro. And we are right across the street from the El Centro Adult School. So it's nearby IRS. And also by behind Home Depot. And no. And I can provide the phone number if you like, or we can wait. Yes, so the number is 760-332-1468. That's our direct line to the El Centro location. And for the admissions line is 888-255-9280.
And so for those of you that didn't get the number down, at the end of the show, we will repeat the numbers and their contact information so that you can have them and maybe get a chance to get, I don't know, I'm older, so pencil, paper, or you can write it on your phone if your phone does those kind of things. So we'll give the information again. So now when I was looking on your website, there's also like a contact form. How would that work if somebody wanted to get information or to talk about a possible admission?
So if you fill out the form via the website, you will be contacted by our admissions line, and they will directly contact us, and we will follow through with the client or the prospect client.
Okay. So, and like I had mentioned earlier, you brought some of your team with you. Who is the rest of your team? What do they do? What are some of the what does your team do? What does each person do?
So there's Maritza Gallo, which is also a therapist, and Ms. Madero, which is also a therapist. And we all work together to provide individual therapies, group therapies with the clients. Also, Maritza works as a transitional specialist, and she contacts case managers from behavioral health and provides resources to our clients, and we work all together and provide updated information of how we can help the client either with resources here in the community or resources out in the community. So it's something that we all work together. And we also have aftercare specialist, which is Paul. Paul is not in right here with us, but he is our specialist that calls our clients once they're discharged from our program. Paul calls them once a week and see, hey, how are you doing? Are you taking your medication? Do you need help with refills on your medication? I can help you, let's say, to call the pharmacy or to help you with anything that the client needs, and just to check in with them. So it's something that we called our former clients and just to get a brief update on them and how are they doing.
So we have a few minutes left on this segment. Can you tell us, can you walk us through, like, if I call or if I send that contact form, what are the steps that are going to be taken in order to get me in to Jackson House?
So our admissions line will call, and they will do like a brief, a mini assessment. A mini assessment will consist of, okay, are you having suicidal thoughts? What are your mental health struggles? And if the client meets the criteria to receive our services, then the client will be sent to our office manager, which is Jose. And Jose will do a full assessment on the client. And if the client continues to meet the criteria, the client will be approved to come to our facility.
So once they are approved to come into the facility, do I, come during the day for like program and then leave at night? How does that work?
So let's say that you are, you came into our program, you're admitted to our program. You came in at 10 in the morning. So from 10 in the morning till probably 5:30, 6, you will have a gap where you will talk to the nursing department, which is to make you an assessment, like if you have any cuts, if you have any, like to do your blood sugar, to check your high blood pressure, and things like that that the nurse will assess. Once they're done, then if it's time for lunch, you will have your lunch. After lunch, then if the nurse continues to do your assessment, it will take about 3-4 hours to do all the steps. Then you will talk to the clinician, you will talk to the doctor, you will talk to our psychiatrist. So it's a process that it's within the first 72 hours that we tend to have to complete assessments. Once they're done, then the client continues to do like activities throughout the day. And I can talk about our schedule. I don't know if you want me to talk about it in our next segment, and we can go over our schedule.
Okay, so once within the first 72 hours, it's like boom, 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 because you got to get the nursing assessment done, you got to get the psychiatric assessment done, you got to get the client situated. Now, if I were the client, I would be staying there
Yes, it's
overnight,
a
right? It's not like
yes, it's inpatient treatment. It's a voluntary place, but it's an inpatient treatment. If the client wants to continue with services, and we will provide the services, but if the client does not want to, the client can let us know, hey, you know what, this isn't working for me. I want to leave, or I'm missing home. I want to leave. Then we talk to the client. We see options if the client is able to go back home. And if they do, then we start the discharge process.
And so once all this is done, you go through your nursing assessment, your psychiatric, you're going to program, you're doing what you need to be doing, you're following the rules of the establishment or of Jackson House. Typically, how long is a stay? I mean, I know that each person is individual, and that's one of the things that you guys do is that you tailor the services to that person. It's not like everybody's going to get the same treatment,
Yes.
but everybody's going to have their own individualized plan, which is,
Yes.
great. So
So
typically.
what we do is we do case reviews weekly. So our program is designed to be a 90-day program, but it doesn't guarantee that the client is going to stay the 90 days. It's a week-by-week process. If let's say that the client arrived within a week, and the second week the client is sleeping better, and that's something that I forgot to mention you, but we monitor their sleep. So each day we ask our NOC shift, which is our staff that works during the night, we ask who woke up in the middle of the night, how many minutes did that client walked. So it's something that we monitor throughout their entire stay, their sleep, because it's very important. And then after that, then we see that the client is sleeping well, is taking the medication, continues to participate. So that's where we tend to see progress. And each client is different because each client can have, I mean, 10, 15 days and still needs a little bit more of stabilization. But there's other clients that have 1 week, 2 weeks, and the clients are doing much better compared to other clients. And each client is individualized. So yes, it's a process.
It's a process, yeah, and that's the thing is that everybody is in a different stage of the game and in a different stage mentally of where they want to be in their recovery or in where they want to be in their mental health treatment. And some people are just a little bit more open, and some people just need a little bit more to chisel through that
Yes.
wall or that barrier. So, and sounds like you guys, you know exactly what you're doing, and you're helping these people be successful, which is really, really
Yes.
important because
Yes.
their mental health. So now do you because in some treatment programs you hear or some programs that you don't have family involvement. You some programs kind of not isolate, but isolate kind of withdraw the person from the family until they can get a little bit more stable. And how does that work with Jackson House?
So, usually our clients, they come in and we ask them, do you want any family to be part of your treatment? We provide also the family therapy. So if in any way when you feel more stable, you're more than welcome to do a family session. But we respect the client when they say, you know what, I don't want none of my family members to know that I'm here. I don't want any of my family members to be part, or you guys letting them know what I'm doing here, and we respect that. We respect each client's decision, but with those who do, then they tend to call us, and we provide a brief update on the client's well-being, only if the client allows it.
And just like with any healthcare facility, client would sign their releases of information,
Yes.
allowing you to release, like you just said, whatever they feel comfortable having
Exactly.
released about them. It's not, you're not going to talk about, you know, from the middle, where they're at, you know, and how many times they got up in the middle of the night and things.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, it's based on, you know, because the client is part of the individualized plan.
Yes.
So we have come to the end of our first segment. We will be taking a brief commercial break, and we will see you back in just a few minutes in Imperial Valley. We're talking with Carolina Rivas from Jackson House. We'll see you in a bit. Welcome back, Imperial Valley. We have a really interesting show for you today. We're talking with Carolina Rivas, and she did bring her part of her treatment team, Marisa Gallo and Carolina Madero, but they're off mic, came as a support. But we're talking about Jackson House today. And Jackson House is a treatment facility, a mental health crisis residential facility that is located here in Imperial County. And, you know, at the first segment, we gave the address and stuff, and we'll do that at the end of the third segment so that you can write it down and get their contact information in case you are interested in becoming a client at Jackson House, or if you happen to know a family member that is interested, they will do an assessment. The assessments are free. You can contact them to get that done. You can even do it over the internet. If you go to their website, they have a contact form there that you can fill out and send. And everything is about them is totally voluntary. It's strictly confidential. You know, nobody's going to know that you called them or anything like that. So with that said, we are going to dive back into our show. And so, Carolina, you know, we had talked during the break about the different kinds of therapies that you offer there at Jackson House. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yes. Yeah, so we also, we provide the, like you mentioned, the SMART therapy. We also have guest speakers once a week. We also provide the CBT, DBT, solution focus. We provide existential therapy as well. What else? And solution focus. I mentioned that one. There's several that we provide to our clients. We also provide mental health education to all of our clients.
So like the SMART care and the motivation, yes, interviewing. And
yes. Those kind of things. Yes. Yes.
And, you know, and it's really important because you're not just offering one kind of treatment, because they're not just one kind of person. Mm-hmm. There are different treatment modalities work with different people. And so, you know, and one thing that, you know, we want to stress to people is that, you know, when they come in, you tailor a treatment program or an individualized treatment program for,
yes,
an individual client. You don't have just like a blanket treatment that say, okay, everybody is the same and they're not. Just like we're all individuals and we all look different, act different, talk different. Well, we, yes, have our treatment needs too. And so, so with those different, therapy models that you have, what kind of mental health disorders, or what kind of disorders, not just mental health, but I'm sure you treat substance use too. So
we accept our clients, when they're referred, we accept them with a dual diagnosis, which is with a mental health and a substance use. We also work with individuals who have bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, anxiety, depression, borderlines. So we work with all different types of population, and each population it's different. It has different personalities, different ways of talking, ways of expressing. And what could work for one individual doesn't work for the other. So that's something that we tend to individualize our clients. Like, we also do the exposure therapy. I don't know if you've heard of it, but we also help our client to prepare to be out in the community, because we have had clients who have struggled with social anxiety. And we help our clients, like, okay, so let's say that you want to go, since we're near Starbucks, why don't we talk about in you going half an hour walking from here to Starbucks. So we'll walk in the front for like 10 minutes, and then another day we'll walk a little bit more and a little bit more further. And once we get into Starbucks, so it's like, okay, the client is feeling a little more at ease. And then as we work together, then that client can go on his own or her own to Starbucks for maybe half 40 minutes, and we'll see how it goes. So we process how the client feels being in social with people, and if the client wants to continue working, we prepare that client and work towards incorporating that client back into the community. And also with the anxiety, it struggles to be with a lot of people, depression, they don't want to come out from their rooms. And it's something that we also monitor, that, okay, how many times did this client came out of his or her room? Did this client take a shower? Did this client have the meals? Did he get like his personal hygiene? Is the room clean? Is, because we tend to look to those little details that might not be a lot, but they make a huge progress in within our program. We tend to validate the client when he or she has a meal, because when we see a client that doesn't want to come out of his or her room, we see like, hey, did you have your snack? Did you have your lunch? And sometimes they just don't want to eat. And we just try to monitor that client. We try to praise the client when they do little short goals, and we praise them like, hey, you did really good. I'm very proud of you. You went out of your room. I saw you more active with your peers. Mm-hmm. And they tend to get motivated, because it's like, oh, I didn't know that you noticed. And we noticed everything. That's something that we tend to do a lot. That's something that as a team, we ask our team members, hey, did you see this client come out, or did you see this client getting a towel, or little things like that we tend to observe, and we document everything that happens in our program. And it's something that if the client did not eat, one of our mental health technicians will come and say, hey, you know what? I noticed that this client did not eat, did not get snacks, and is not wanting to come out of his or her room. So it's something that it flags ourselves, and we go in and check on that client, and like tend to check every often on that client. So it's something that we do work a lot on their behaviors, especially as well.
And that's really important. You're taking baby steps.
Exactly.
That's what sometimes people need, just one little step at a time so that they can get to the ultimate goal.
Yes.
We had maybe mentioned it a little bit, like the therapy that you do, how often, and what is a typical like therapy session look like? Do you have individual, group? I think you had mentioned that in the first segment. Can you tell us a little bit more detail about that?
Yes. So we do sessions every day, individual sessions to all of our clients. So when a client is, hey, you know what, I'm having a really bad day. So we process what's going on in that day. We also provide the group sessions. Group sessions are every day. And we provide our MHTs and our clinical team will provide groups. We start with our exercises in the morning. We do like stretches, and that's something that we motivate all of our clients around 7:30 in the morning. Once they have their coffee, we start like, let's do exercise. It's part of our group, like stretches, so that you can start your day fully motivated. And then we do our goal of the day. What's your goal for today? Even if it's to take a shower, that's a goal that it's going to be accomplished, or to take my medication, or clean my room. Those little things that they can make a huge progress. And we also, the clinical team does their groups such as CBT. We provide also the mindfulness activities, which is something that we notice that our clients tend to like and enjoy. We go for walks. We also take them to the park when it's a good day and we can take them. Yes. We take them for a walk. We also practice meditation. If the weather is too hot or not, we do meditation in the facility. And we walk around the facility. And it's something that we just want to make sure that the clients feel a little bit more active. And they help our staff clean. They help our staff with the food. We help them and we observe about their social skills and also their way to recovery the majority of the time, which is something that we care about mostly. But we do therapies every day.
And it kind of sounds like if somebody's having a bad day, they can just kind of catch one of you and, you know, you guys can help process that, yes, that incident that happened where they, you know, it kind of put a wrinkle in their yes, in their day. And so that's, yeah, that's really awesome because you're not telling somebody, hey, wait till your next therapy session.
Yeah, no, we on the dot, we work with them at the moment.
Address it right at the moment. Yes. And it's really important because, you know, it sounds like, you know, there's a structure for the day. You know, I'm sure you know, you get up in the morning and can you guide us through what that looks like? You know, what time is getting up? What time is breakfast? What time is lunch?
Yes. So, in the mornings, I go in at 7 in the morning. So when I get there, the coffee's already ready. Some of the clients are waiting for the coffee. Towels are being handed to those who want to take a shower. And then after that, once they shower, once they drink their coffee, we start our morning stretches, which is something that I practice with them. And then breakfast is at 8. So they have half an hour to do their breakfast, and then at 9 it's their group, which is for the goal of the day. They start with the goal of the day, and then after that it's the clinical group, which is either the mental health education, the mindfulness, or the CBT. That's something that we practice with the clients. After that they value their smoke break, so they have a smoke break. and then they start their sessions either with me or Ms. Madero or Ms. Maritza. So we do our sessions. Some of the clients are helping the MHT to do or prepare the food, and then same group after lunch, and so on and so forth. Well, the nurses, you know, as well do education on their medication.
That's really important.
Yes.
Because, you know, folks need really good medication education, especially because they need to know the side effects.
Exactly. Right?
When you're in a residential center, you know, you have staff that are there around the clock. But once you step down and go to live on your own or go to another, you know, go back home or wherever, you need to know what is contraindicated and with your medication and medication support, because that's super, super important.
Yes. And that's something that they get from the nurses every morning. After the goal of the day, they go and get their medication.
Okay. And so, you know, since they're processing this and the ultimate goal is to get discharged and go back to, hopefully they have a home or go back to some kind of living facility or, you know, like an apartment or wherever they live. And
So are there life skills classes that are being offered to help, help people learn how to cook, clean, and just do basic kind of stuff?
Yes. And it's something that our staff helps some of our clients, and our clients, there's certain clients that are allowed to go into the kitchen with our staff, and those are clients who are not having suicidal thoughts or any of that. We just want to make sure that it's not a trigger for them or a risk for them. So our staff helps them, like teach them, hey, you know what? This is what we're going to make. This is what you can help me with. And they help our staff while they're educating them on preparing the food. And then after the food, they clean, and everyone cleans. Even us as clinicians, we help clean around the facility as well at times.
That's a good valuable lesson, because it shows you nobody's above cleaning.
Exactly.
Plus it's helpful. I'm sure the people that are in the kitchen pretty much like that idea, because it's a big undertaking to have to, cook and clean for a lot of people.
Yes.
I am not the greatest cook in the world, so yeah, I appreciate that.
Me neither.
So we are at the end of our second session. And so Imperial Valley, we will be taking a brief commercial break, and we will be back with you with Carolina Rivas, who is a therapist at Jackson House. We'll see you back in a few minutes. Welcome back, Imperial Valley. Thank you for coming back and join us on our weekly wellness radio show, Let's Talk About It. This is our third segment and we have had the pleasure of talking with Carolina Rivas, who's a therapist at Jackson House Residential Care Facility here in El Centro. And they have many others, but we're talking to the staff here from El Centro. And Carolina, at the beginning of the show, you talked about that, when people come in, they'll get like a mini assessment. Can you kind of tell us what that will feel like, sound like? How long it will take? Give us a little bit of background.
Okay. So it usually takes about 10, 15 minutes. And it's questions about like, what are your current symptoms or your mental health struggles? Any self-harm? The last time that the client did a self-harm on themselves, the triggers. Also, if they agree to take any prescribed medication, and if they do, are they okay if the prescription is changed? We also ask them like, hey, there's rules of no taking pictures, no photos, no record, no recording, no FaceTime. And if they're willing to sign that as the part of the confidentiality. So it's a pretty basic questionnaire, and if they're willing to respect other peers, and if they want, if they are okay sharing a room, because we have 8 rooms, and each room is it has 2 beds, so it's 2 clients per room.
Sounds like pretty straightforward, pretty easy. It's not anything that's difficult to understand. And the other thing that we were talking about, you had mentioned about insurances and stuff like that. And so we kind of want to talk a little bit about our veterans here in the Imperial Valley, or whoever's listening to us about their coverage and VA benefits.
Yes. So we also accept their insurance, the veterans insurance, and we also connect, if a client is a veteran or has veteran insurance, we work together with the client and with another program that helps with our clients, like with their benefits from the military benefits, or if they need like their military ID, we help them as well. We take them to that program, we get a release, and we work together with that program so they can help our client with maybe establishing their benefits or an open door for the client so that that client can continue with services with their same veterans benefits. So that's something that we work with.
And that, you know, you're really easing their mind because, you know, you're going into a treatment facility. You're probably not going to be working because you're in a facility, and you want to make sure that, you know, your medications are going to be paid for when you leave the facility because you want to continue your treatment.
Exactly.
You've done this, you know, this program, and now you can't get your meds, or, you know, you don't have an ID in order to get housing or anything, because, you know, a lot of the things revolve around getting,
yes,
you know, an ID. And so it makes it difficult to do that. And, you know, that those little extra steps that you guys are doing, those
exactly.
little extra things, I mean, somebody may not think too much about it, but when you don't have a car, when you don't have transportation, when you don't have the ability to go down and do this, or your mind is kind of disorganized where you're not really able to sit and concentrate and focus and have somebody help you go down there and do this, or help you just kind of guide you, or say, you know what, you need to cross that T or dot that I. And that is a world.
Exactly. And if in doubt, or if a person wants our services and they just don't feel like 100% sure, they're more than welcome to do a tour. Just they would have to call our facility, and Jose will provide a brief tour. It's in our program. And what we usually do is we encourage all of our other clients to go to their room, and this person who's interested in our services can do a tour. And if they have questions, they're more than welcome to talk to the clinical team or to our program director. And they're all more than welcome to help any person who's interested in our services. And we just want to make sure that that client feels, or that person feels, more at ease and feels welcome, so that they can receive the services.
And that's a really important thing, because you want a person to feel at ease, and so that they're more welcoming and accepting of treatment. And, you know, one of the biggest things, or one of the biggest barriers other than stigma, is the fear of the unknown. They don't know what's going to happen there. And unfortunately, there's, you know, there's movies and stuff out there that don't really paint behavioral health and treatment centers in a beautiful way or in a nice way. And so people have those, you know, ideas, those preconceived ideas of what we are, and we're really not, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that fear of the unknown is totally eased. And plus they'll see you guys there, you know, the staff there, and you guys will help make that transition or so much easier.
Yes. And that's what we want to make sure, that they feel comfortable and safe. That we have had clients who would say, you know what, I feel safe because the doors are always locked, and no one can come in through the front door. And it's like, no one can come through the front door unless we open the door. So they feel more comfortable.
Yeah. And, you know, some of us have never experienced that. Some of us have never been unhoused, and know that, you know, if you fall asleep, you know, your items can be taken, your stuff can be taken, or something can happen to you, or even, you know, if you're a victim of domestic violence, or in a home that's unsafe, just that little thing, you know,
yes,
can make a big difference to someone.
Yes. And we have had clients who have, as now that you're mentioned about domestic violence, we've had female clients who are scared at night because they think that they're going to open the window of their rooms. But we have educated them by saying, you know what, even if the window tries to be open or they open the window, our alarms will go on. So we'll know which room's window is open. And in all of our clients, there's a blue light. And if someone opens the window, our alarm goes on and the door is identifying which door is being open. And that's how we know. So, and then the lady said, oh, well, thank you. That makes me feel more calm because I thought that they were going to come in through the window. But no, we monitor everything.
And so with that, we always like to kind of end our show with some stories, some success stories, some feel good stories about the agency that we're interviewing. So I know that you had said that you have a couple. So I'm going to let you take it away. And then after we're done, we'll give your contact information again. And that'll be that.
Well, thank you. So yes, there has been several clients who have successfully, accomplished their goals and they've been doing really good out in the community. So there's two which have struggled with attitude, schizophrenia and borderline. They were the first one is a female and she had a really bad temper, really bad. She was not cooperating. She did not want her to participate in the program. And she would always give attitude towards our staff, towards our peers. So instead of giving up, what we did is we did our team meetings, which we do in our facility with our MHT, program director, clinical team. And we work on solutions like, okay, so how can we help this client so that we can help him or her? And we didn't give up on that client. So as the days went by, we noticed a change in that client that she noticed that she was not discharged. And she said, like, I really want the help. And we talked to her. If you really want the help, we're here. But we also need you to come in and talk to us. We don't know what's going on. If you need our help, we're right here. The client started opening up and we saw a huge difference as she started helping staff. She started talking good to everyone. So we were noticing that progress in that client. And she was a borderline, a person who struggled with mood dysregulation. And this client was very consistent on her medication. She started going to her sessions, participate in groups, help our staff. And at the end of the day, she was successfully discharged. She found a job. She bought a car and she found her own place. And now, she's doing really good. And she calls every so often and we praise her every time she calls. And she calls and talks to the whole staff and she thanks us for the support that she received and that we didn't give up on her. That's one. But we've had others.
Because you didn't give up on her.
Exactly.
And so many other places would have just said, you know what, she's too much to deal with. Other people in the, so that shows a lot about you and your hearts and your caring for your clients that you serve.
So. And this was a team effort. We all worked together. It's like, no, we're not going to give up. Let's keep working with her. What can we help her? How can we, our techniques, what can we change? And we did. We did. And she did really good. We're very proud of her.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she should be proud of herself too.
Yes.
She took those steps, but you know, if for your nurturing and guidance, that really helped her. You said you had another story?
Yes, I had another one. This client, when I first met him, he did not want to talk to me. He would take off without permission, like out of the facility, and I would call him like, hey, you need to come back if you want to continue the services, don't leave like this. And then he was educated on several times. He would come back and he would say, okay, I'm going to be nice and this and that. And he was hearing his voices very, very high. So we started, like I said, we worked with him. We tried to, okay, what other techniques can we apply so that he can continue receiving the services? He needs to be consistent with the medication. So we educated him. We encouraged him. And we also saw that change, and he was successfully discharged. He spent almost 90 days in the program. He discharged, and he calls every so often, and he doesn't live here no more. So he lives in another county, and he calls and says, hey, I'm doing really good. I'm sober for so long, and I'm very happy where I am. I don't want to go back to Imperial County, but I mean, he's doing really good. So we praise him every time he calls, and he calls and he wants to talk to Ms. Madero, Ms. Maritza, myself, and Mr. Paul. And sometimes we put him on speaker and he says hi, that he misses us. So those are the good stories. And at the end of the day, you say, huh, I did something good.
Yeah,
today.
Very true. And you know, one thing I didn't mention, and my apologies for this, is that your services are also bilingual, right?
Yes.
Sure, all of you speak Spanish.
Yes, we all speak Spanish and English. Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, we are almost at the end of our show, and I want to make sure that people have your contact information, your website, any social media, any phone numbers that you care to share.
Okay. So our direct line is 760-332-1468. That's the Jackson Housel Central's direct line. The admissions line is 888-255-9280. And we're all located in California and also in Oregon. We have in Temecula, La Mesa. Here in El Centro, we have a San Diego detox program and the one in Oregon.
Okay. And then your website is?
The website is JacksonHouseElCentro.com.
So people can look on there and they can get that contact form that they can fill out and send it. And then
yes.
Somebody from your team will give them a call to get registered.
Yes.
So that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you very much, Carolina Rivas.
Thank
from
you.
Jackson House Residential Center. We appreciate your time and also your teammates, Marisa Gallo and Carolina Madero. We want to thank you for being with us today and spending the last hour with us talking about Jackson House. And with that, Imperial Valley, we have come to the end of our show. If you need to reach us, you can call us at 1-800-817-5292, and that's our 24-hour line. If you'd like to reach us during our normal working hours, our phone number is 442-265-1525. As always, thank you for being with us, and we'll see you next week.